Hi, this is Danielle from the Jealous Curator, and this is episode 99 of Art for Your Ear. This episode is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. You can visit their online gallery at saatchiart.com. So, today we are visiting the Big Island of Hawaii, talking to an Israeli artist named Zemer Peled. She's there for a commission project, and luckily I was able to talk to her from there because as soon as she's finished with this project, I'm pretty sure she's heading off to France for a residency. Yeah, I know, right? So, I will warn you that we had some technical difficulties at the beginning. There was a weird buzz, and about 10 minutes into our first attempt, the call just sort of cut out, and I had to call her back. You're going to hear a bloop that indicates that. But I promise that her story is so good, you will not even care about these annoying things. Okay, let's get on with it. Calling Hawaii. Hi, Zemer.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I guess I should have said aloha.
Aloha, yes, aloha.
And also crazy jealous. So you're on the Big Island of Hawaii.
Yes, I'm here for 2 weeks. I'm making a sculpture, a commission for a collector.
Okay.
And it's been just a dream being here.
Oh my goodness.
In Hawaii for the first time in my life. So I'm jealous also of myself somehow.
So you have a week to go, is that right?
Yes, I'm halfway. I'm done with my piece. So now I'm basically just traveling and hiking.
That sounds amazing.
First few days I made the piece, so I worked with clay, so the piece has to dry for some time. So now it's in the kiln and it's drying and I'm just waiting for the firing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's so cool. I was wondering, because I knew that you were there for a commission, and I was so curious if it was for a collector or if like a city had brought you there to do like some outdoor type thing. So is this a piece that will be in somebody's home then?
Yes, it's for a private collector, and I made the piece a few months ago, but my work is very fragile, so when I shipped the work over here to Hawaii, it broke.
Oh.
So then we came up, it was terrible, because, yeah, it was like a special commission, and it was a beautiful, I made a beautiful flower for them, and we were all very happy, but then the piece just broke when it arrived here.
Oh, that is sad.
It's really sad, but also, you know, I'm here, so. But then we came up with the idea of me coming here to Hawaii and just make the piece here, so.
See? Every cloud does have a silver lining.
Exactly.
Now you'll just ship your stuff without even, like, any packing material. Oops, it broke. I guess I better go to Australia and fix that one.
Yeah, that's actually, I mean, my career kind of shifted in the last few months just because of that, because of breaking and trying to save on shipping. So that's what I was actually doing. Also, I went to London for a month and a half just to make a body of work.
Wow.
So just saving on shipping, because my work is very fragile, and every time I need to ship it, like to use the air shipping, like the planes, so it just gets really complicated.
So you ship yourself instead?
Yeah, I mean, I take all my shards with me. I make all the shards like in my studio, and I just take I fill my luggage with shards and my hammers and my everything. And I just take it with me, and I pay for, you know, overweight. And
it's
just cheaper than to ship everything with like our shipping companies and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
So that's what I did in London, and that's what I'm doing here in Hawaii. So it works, and I love traveling, and it just,
I think you're onto something there. I've got to start saying that about my paper collages too. No, they might get bent in the mail. I better fly to Hawaii and do my collage for you there.
But it's working, because, I mean, the shipping, it just costs a fortune, thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Just to
buy. That makes way more sense. That is fantastic. And it's actually kind of cool if you're doing commissions for, you know, private collectors to actually be in their space and to know where it's going to live, as opposed to making it on the other side of the world.
Exactly. I mean, now I'm here in their house, and I actually know exactly where the piece is going to go. And it's different than to make it in my studio and just imagine the space and just to have dimensions. And yeah, so it's a different, and I'm here in Hawaii and like I'm making a flower for them.
And, yeah, and you can smell the flowers through the windows as you're making it.
Exactly.
So I can smell the flowers just thinking about it sitting here in Canada. You're making, it's doing that weird buzzy sound. I'm just going to leave that in, but can you try scooching to the left or moving to the, like, I'm wondering if you just move a little bit, if it'll just be better.
Better?
No, it's got this like constant like hum, like just like a zzzz in the background.
Like my name.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. Maybe that's why.
Now?
Oh, that's better.
Okay. All right. I just did like a bit of a move.
Oh, now it's doing it again. I want to hear your whole story, and I just don't want it to be, I just don't want there to be a buzz over it.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, good. Let's just keep going.
All right.
That's so much better. And if it, I mean, what are you going to do? If it buzzes, it buzzes. Okay. There we go. Technical difficulty solved. Okay. I have so many questions for you because we need to talk about your childhood, but when I looked you up on Skype, it said London. Do you live in London right now?
It says London. Well, yeah. I used to live in London because I left Israel like 7 years ago.
Okay.
And I went to grad school in London, at the Royal College of Art.
Okay, that must have been when you signed up for Skype, because it says London. Okay, so I want to hear about what your childhood was like.
Well, I'm Israeli, and I was born and raised in a kibbutz in the northern part of Israel.
And what is a kibbutz exactly?
Well, it used to be a collective community which was traditionally based on agriculture.
Yeah.
But these days, it's very different. But back then, when I'm 33 now, so back then it was still kind of traditional.
Yeah.
But I grew up like in it's a very small community, like everybody knows each other. It's a very safe place, although you think about Israel and you think about danger and like wars and all of that, which exists. But I mean, I didn't feel like I'm in danger. I mean, the opposite. I felt like I'm in a very safe place all the time, and having this very small community. So it's just like a big family. For good and for worse.
Yeah. I'm from a small town too. I understand the good and the bad about that.
Yes.
And so were you artsy back then? Were you making stuff then?
Well, now when I look back, so yes. I mean, I was always like making stuff with my mom and like building things and helping her in the garden. And she's very artistic. But it wasn't like, and you know, I loved art, like art classes, but I used to be a dancer all my life.
Oh.
And my dream was being like a ballerina. That was like my...
Wow.
So I started dancing when I was like 7.
Yeah, so now you actually sound really good. So let's just keep going. Okay, so... more technical difficulties. So you wanted to be a dancer, and then I missed what you said. Did you go to art school? Is that what you said? Or you went to dance school?
Yeah, so when I was 16, I went to art school. Like, I was always very artistic. I mean, that's the only way for me was, and still was the way for me to express myself. And so I went to art school to a dance department. So, yeah, I was, like, really serious about it.
What did the people in your community think and your family and stuff?
Oh, they were very supportive. And my parents were always, like, encouraging us to find our way, like, artistic way and voice and be very serious and, you know.
Yeah, if you're going to do it right.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the motto in my family. If you're going to do it, you do it right and all the way.
Same here. Yep.
Yeah. So, and my brother is a musician, so, I mean, and I have two sisters, but they're not artistic at all. But yeah, I was like very serious about it. And then in the end of high school, I needed to make some decisions in my life. Because when you're 18 in Israel, you need to go to the army. So it was like this time in my life when I needed to make some decisions. If I'm continuing with my dancing ideas, crazy ideas, or just, you know, quitting and going to the army and doing whatever everybody else are doing. So, yeah.
What did you do?
I quit.
You quit dancing and went into the army?
Yes. Well, yeah, I quit dancing. I just, it wasn't for me. I mean, and I knew I'm not going to be the best.
So yeah.
It was just too crazy, and it wasn't healthy for me.
No, that life is dancing, figure skating, all of that gymnastics, like it becomes crazy, and it has to be your whole life or nothing.
Yeah, which I don't mind, like having it like very like to do it all the way.
Yeah.
That's not the problem. The problem was that it was just like I realized that I really don't like being on stage.
Oh.
Like, I just hate it, and I was not like an amazing dancer. I really love dancing, and still, in a way, I'm dancing with my sculptures, and I love dancing. But I just made the decision to just quit, because that's what I do in my life. I make decisions and just like, done.
That's it.
Next.
Okay, so the art girl goes to the army. What happens next?
Well, then I was in the army for 2 years. I was like pretending to live the normal life, you know, doing what everybody else are doing, which was never my thing.
Oh my God.
And it's mandatory in Israel, and I kind of like, I had to do it. So that's what I did. I look at myself now, like pictures, I can't even recognize myself.
I'm sure. That's crazy.
Like 14 years ago and 15 years ago. And I just, you know, it's just crazy. I mean, you're 18 and they give you this gun, and like, it's like a dream. It's like crazy.
This is not where I thought this conversation was going to go.
Yeah, I mean, if now, yeah, let's not talk about politics. So.
No, that is a whole other thing, isn't it? But that's, okay, so to go from that to, yeah, now you're in Hawaii doing a commission, like,
yeah, whoa. So, I mean, after the army, so I realized, you know, I was trying to see what to do with my life, what to study, where to go, and, you know, I was looking for myself, I didn't know what to do with myself. And then I had a boyfriend, and I had a huge breakup, and I was completely, like, broken, and my heart was, like, all over the place. Mm-hmm. I was all over the place, and after a few months of just, like, really serious depression, and my parents sent me to therapy. And that was, like, I was 20, and they sent me to therapy because nobody knew what to do with me. And I went to therapy to a psychologist, and she was using also art therapy in the sessions. And there, I mean, she was amazing and incredible. And she was working with me, like we worked with clay and painting and all this stuff. And this is basically saved my life, the art therapy and the therapy. And that's how I started working with clay.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was really like magic, because it just saved my life. I mean, seriously. And since then, I just didn't stop.
Yeah, you made your decision, and
I didn't make
away you went.
It was like, you know, it was so obvious. I mean, yeah. I'm an artist. I've always been an artist. I will always be an artist. But it was just like perfect. It was like, this is my voice and the way to communicate, and materials were, it's like, that's my thing.
Wow.
So then I took like evening classes, and I took like different like art classes, and then I just applied to art school in Israel. And So I had like a year in between my the therapy to art school that I worked in my portfolio, and it was just like an explosion, you know, like I just found myself and I was not depressed anymore and nothing. I was like a completely different person. Mm-hmm. And until now, I'm like, I can't stop. I mean, since then.
Yeah.
And I never stopped. I mean, yeah, so I went to art school and then grad school. And now I'm in Hawaii.
Making oh, my God. And so it was grad school was in London then?
Yeah, it was at the Royal College of Art.
And so did you do ceramics through your art school in Israel and then... Or were you doing a whole bunch of stuff? Are you focused on ceramics?
No, just clay work.
Clay work.
Clay was.
Okay. And then you went to London doing the same kind of, like, focusing on that.
Yes. I went to undergrad in Israel for ceramics and then in London for ceramics department. Yeah.
So was going to London the first time that you'd lived abroad then?
Yeah, that was the first time I left Israel.
And what did you think?
I was shocked. I mean, I'm a very adventurous person and I love like traveling and, you know, everything about it. But that was like shocking.
Yeah.
The British, I think that I was like shocked, like culturally shocked, and they were shocked by me. Because I'm so direct and I'm like so straightforward and it's like the complete opposite than the British people. So it was adjusting for the first year was like adjusting, but it was an incredible time. Like the school was amazing and the teachers and like so many people from all over the world, and it was kind of my dream, like, to, you know, growing up in a very small community in Israel was really one of my biggest dreams, was to live outside, like to travel and to just leave and to like be everywhere.
Right.
So that was the first time when I really got to live outside of Israel and to be by myself and being independent and all of that. So
wow.
It was incredible.
Yeah. How long were you in London?
So I was there 2.5 years, almost 3 years in London.
And so when you graduated, did you go back to Israel?
So I had like a year when I still traveled to London and Israel because I didn't know where I want to be and I couldn't stay in England because of the visa issue.
Oh, right.
But then I decided to, I mean, I couldn't stay there, unfortunately. So, but I didn't want to go back to Israel. So, and I wanted to do like residencies. So then I applied to the Archie Bray Foundation in Montana in the U.S.
Oh. Okay.
I applied to a few different residencies in America, and because my work, I mean, when I graduated the Royal College of Art, so I started making really big pieces, like the big installations, and I really needed like for to continue developing my work and, you know, researching. So I really needed the facilities, like the big kilns and, you know, the big studio. Mm-hmm. So that's why I applied to the Archie Bray, and I was really lucky to get in and to get a spot there.
Wow. Well, okay, let me reverse for a second. So the shard work that you're doing now, were you playing around with that at all in London or not yet?
Oh, yeah. That was like my thesis show.
Okay.
At the Royal College. So I started with the shards like 3 months before I graduated. So all my exhibition, my thesis show was like the beginning of the shards making.
Okay, and how did that come about? Like, why the shards?
Well, I mean, growing up in Israel, I was always like fascinated with shards and archaeology. And actually, the kibbutz where I grew up, it's sitting right next to the royal palace of King Ehab.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And as a kid, I mean, Israel in general, it's like an incredible place because wherever you dig, wherever you like go, you find evidence of the past, like shards or like archaeological sites.
And wow. All.
It's just fascinating. And as a kid, I always used to go, I mean, to help the archaeologists. And, you know, it was like a big part of the kibbutz. still is. I mean, they're still like researching and digging and finding things. And so I just love it. I mean, since I was a kid. And then when I was 20, I used to work in an archaeological site in the old city of Jerusalem, which was really hard work, but just so amazing. And, you know, you just dig in the ground in the old city of Jerusalem and you just find all these shards and like pots and coins and jewelry.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Crazy. So I think the shards and all this history was like always there, and but the, you know, when I was like far away from my country, far away from home, so I mean at the in London, so that was when I started really think of like where I'm from and like what does it mean for me, and so the shards would like was very natural for me. I mean, working with ceramics and so, I mean, that's when I was really starting to dig into myself, you know, and finding my own charts. And that's what I do with my work. Like all the pieces I make are, you know, it's never like ready-made charts. It's like I always make them. So I make the pieces, the porcelain pieces, and then I break them and then I rebuild all these crazy sculptures. So it's around the shards and the breaking and the history and how can I like create the history with my own shards.
Wow. Oh my God. I always wondered that actually.
Yeah, it's very, yeah, I'm still, I haven't used like ready-made shards.
Yeah.
So, but that would be the next step in my work, I think.
Yeah. But that's crazy. So you make a thing, how do you break it? Do you use a little hammer or do you drop it on the floor?
I have a collection of hammers. I always like buy more and more hammers, and I have a mini one that I go traveling with. That's what I here in Hawaii.
Oh my God. Okay. I meant to ask you that, but we were having all our technical difficulties. What do the airport security people say when you show up with a suitcase with little hammers and shards of ceramics?
Well, I don't take it on the plane, but I always get a note from whoever is checking my suitcase. That, you know, they leave a note, we checked you. I have pictures of that. It's just hilarious. Like, it looks like a bomb. I don't know, all my shards and, you know, the hammers and tweezers and I don't know, it's crazy.
Oh my God. When you were saying that, I was just thinking, I can't even get on there with a bottle of lotion. Like, how do you get on there with with all of that?
No, I don't take it on the plane.
No, so it's, you pack it, I guess.
Yeah. But sometimes I take my pieces, and that's actually really amazing to see because they scan. They always scan my
of course,
sculpture.
Yeah.
So I take the small sculptures with me if I need to when I travel.
Yeah.
And I always, like, take pictures of, like, the scan.
The x-ray of it?
The x-ray. Yeah. It's just crazy.
I bet. Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, they just look at me like, I don't know. I'm saying, I'm just like, that's a sculpture. Don't worry. Don't touch it.
And yeah. Really, please don't break it.
Don't break it. Yeah. And I'm trying to be really scary so they won't do anything, you know.
Super intimidating artist.
Yeah.
Lady.
Yeah.
Okay, so where did we leave off? I just had to ask that airport question. Okay, so you started breaking things, so you've got your little hammers. So can you kind of control how you break them, or is there kind of no control in that?
Well, that's the beauty, what I say. It's like control and in control. I mean,
yeah.
That's the whole like game that I'm playing with myself in the studio all day. Like, it's like being in control and like losing myself.
Yeah. Well, because do you ever have those moments where you're like, ooh, I would really like this one to break in a triangle shape, and then it doesn't?
Yeah, and you can't control it. I mean, I can control, I mean, the way I break it and how much force I put on each shard, and I kind of like learn
right.
where to press and where to hit the porcelain and like how much force to put. So it's always like learning and like being in control, but still it's like I can't control it. I mean, it's shards, it's something that break.
Well, and that's so cool because it's exactly what you're saying. Like you also can't control what you're going to find when you dig.
Exactly. You can't, it's just this like craving of like finding and like what I'm going to find tomorrow and like what's going to happen and like what's going to be there, like what's hidden in the ground.
And yeah, it's like an addiction. It must be an addiction just to go back and check again.
It is. It's an addiction and obsession. And also my work is all about that. I mean, it's because I'm like very obsessed person.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I picked up on that.
Yeah, you can see it on my work. Yes. But I mean, it's a huge part of my work, like the repetitive and meditation in making each one of the pieces.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Breaking and then the making. So it's like this whole process is very important for me. When I put each piece is like, it's a whole story.
Yeah. Do you, is it, because I'm thinking, you know, of course it would be very meditative. Do you listen to anything or is it quiet when you work?
Well, I listen to your podcast.
Oh, yes, that's very soothing and meditative.
Yeah, I listen to that. And I'm listening to pop music.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. That's not what I thought you were going to say.
And I don't know, sometimes classical music, but. Usually I don't like thinking. I mean, I just like when I work, I just like to go for it and like make it happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Just sort of zone out and go.
Yeah. So pop music helped me. different podcasts. And sometimes it's just quiet. But different things, but I don't have like something very specific.
Can I ask about, so the first time, when I first found you, it was the flowers.
Yeah.
I wrote about your flowers. And then the next time I poked around on your site, it was those big, crazy, like they look organic, but they don't really look like flowers. They almost look like they're swirling around shards that are these growths or something.
Yeah. So these are the pieces I really like to make. I mean, the flowers, I like them. And
were you, the flowers sort of where you started?
No, actually it's not. I mean, it was just, I don't even remember how I started to make them, but I just started. It was just like, okay, let's make flowers. Flowers are beautiful. But I mean, actually, the pieces were like the large pieces. This is my real passion.
Yeah.
And they're really the thing that I'm trying to make most in my work. Like, it's very hard to make the big pieces because it takes a lot of time. And I need the right facilities, and yeah, it just takes a long time to make them.
Yeah,
but
I can imagine.
My real love, you know, because I'm just like dancing around them. And
that's what I thought at the beginning when you said that, you know, you feel like you're dancing in your new work. Like, that's exactly what I pictured was those, because there is so much movement.
So much movement, and in these pieces, I'm really like, I'm letting go of everything, you know, it's just like a dance. And I love making them. It's just building this scale is like more and fit me more.
How long do they take?
It takes me a long time actually to produce all the shards for them.
Yeah.
For pieces. But once I have all the shards ready and like broken, and then like I organize them for, you know, different size and colors and all of that. So all the preparation, that takes a long time.
Yeah.
But once I start building, it's very hard to stop me. I mean, just like work hours and hours. I mean, I just can't stop.
Yeah, you forget to eat.
I forget to eat, sleep. It's just like I have to get it done.
Yeah.
So it really depends. But I also need to, because clay is very sensitive material, so you need to know when to stop and... like, especially when you work on this very large scale.
Do you have a plan for those? Like, you know, once you organize all your sizes and colors and everything, do you have a plan, or is it sort of organic and it just sort of grows as you go, or have you got a sketch?
It's very organic. I mean, I have no sketches, no plans, and I have a plan of, like, the size.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing I have. It's always, like, evolving and changing, and I'm constantly like walking around the pieces, and like it just I never know how it's going to look like in the end. It's always a surprise.
Wow, that's so totally cool. What I thought, like that's what I was hoping you were going to say.
Yeah,
you know, because they are so organic that I was like, I can't imagine her having a plan.
No, I can't have a plan. I mean, that's not my personality.
Yeah, I'm picking up on that as well as we go.
I mean, I just love like making and like to go with the flow, you know.
Yeah.
It's very strange because in my personal life, I'm the complete opposite person.
There you go. Your art gives you your outlet.
Yes.
So in real life, like in your personal life, are you super organized or...
No, I'm not organized, but I think I'm not like accepting things as they come.
Right. You want a plan.
Oh yeah, I need a plan.
That's so funny.
But anyway, back to my sculpture.
Yeah. So this could be a totally different podcast if we go the personal route.
Which, yeah, it's kind of equivalent. But anyway, my sculptures, I love just making them like very spontaneous and like I don't know where they're going, and like just I find things through the work, like while I'm working. So
that's
it's
so
always
beautiful.
Very, very exciting, and like finding the movement. So I'm really, it's like a dance for me. So it's like going back to be a dancer, but you know, now I'm not on stage and I can just put my piece there to dance.
How do you feel at art openings?
Well, it's very hard. I mean, I don't like it. I hate it. I kind of like try to hide behind my pieces.
And I was going to say.
Stand far away and take pictures of people that taking pictures of my work.
So right. Let your work be on stage so that you don't have to be.
And I think this is why I love so much what I'm doing, because I can just put my pieces out there and not being like, not physically be there. I mean, physically be there, but my sculptures are there.
Right. I totally know what you mean. It is hard to see. That is a really hard moment. Like if you're not that kind of person that wants the spotlight.
Yeah.
You know, it is, it's kind of a very vulnerable feeling.
And I do want the spotlight. I mean, I can't lie. I mean, I cannot lie about it. I mean, but I don't want to be the person to stand there.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think your sculptures can definitely handle the spotlight.
Yeah. So that's what I'm like, yeah, they should stand there and I should just, you know, watch from far, far away.
You can have a glass of wine in the background and just take pictures.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. I my brain is going in so many different directions now. Okay. I want to ask you all about your color choices. So I want to come back to that. But we left you off in Montana. Where do you live now?
Well, now I live in Long Beach, California.
Oh.
Yeah. That's my home base, although I'm not there like almost, but that's where my studio is at. I'm doing like a residency, like a visiting artist at Cal State Long Beach.
Okay.
And my studio is there, and I moved there like a year ago because I had a big solo show in LA, and Tony Marsh invited me to come to the department to make all the pieces, the big pieces for the show, and I needed like big kilns and all that. So it's an amazing place, amazing program, and I'm very lucky to be there.
Wow. So are you just sort of like a little like art gypsy of the world where you can just like, you just move to wherever the next commission is?
Well, kind of, but I'm really tired of it. That's that's the place where I'm at now in my life. So
that's where the plan is coming in. That's where you want the plan.
Yes, that's the plan.
where do you want to be? Do you know?
That's the question. Yeah. I don't know where is home. I mean, I don't have home yet. And I think wherever my studio is going to, wherever I'm going to open my studio, that's where home is going to be. But it's never ending, because last year I said the same thing. And look at me now. I'm just like traveling so much. It's just crazy.
Well, I know because right after you're done, because we were trying to figure out when we could do this podcast, you're like, well, I'm on my way to Hawaii, and then I'm going to a residency in France.
Yeah, and before that, I'm in New York. So, but my next place, my next residency is in France, in Limoges.
Oh, my gosh. For how long are you there?
So I'm going to go there for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Work in the factory, in Bernardo factory in Limoges, which is an incredible opportunity, and I'm super excited about it.
That's amazing. Was that something you applied for, or did they reach out to
well,
you?
Well, it was, yeah, it, no, they don't, I'm the first person to be, the first artist to work in their factory ever. So it's like, kind of like experimenting for both sides, because
oh, okay.
I've never done it and they've never done it. So, but they have, they invited me to, they curate a show every year at their museum.
Okay.
And the theme of the show is flowers this year. So I'm just going to go there and make flowers using their shards, the factory shards, and inspired by their collection. So I'm going to be there for 5 weeks and making work for the exhibition.
Wow. And do you go yeah. straight from Hawaii to there, or do you go back to California first?
I go to California and then New York for a few days, back to California, and then Limoges for 5 weeks.
Oh, my word. Now, if you had told that 18-year-old girl with a gun...
Oh, my God, never. I mean, wow, I can't, no.
Oh, my God, it's so... I am so glad I got you on the podcast. I don't even care if there's a weird little hum. I don't care. I will happily listen to the weird little hum so I can hear this story. Oh, my God. Okay, so...
You know, you never know, like, how your life is going to end up or where, what you're going to do.
No kidding. And so what do your parents think?
Well, they're very supportive. I'm very lucky. My parents are amazing. They've been always very supportive of us, like all of us. They're really incredible. They will follow us everywhere. They will, like, support us. And, you know, they're very talented, both of them. They're not, like, in the art world, but they're just very creative, I would say.
Are they still in Israel?
They're still in Israel, they're still in the kibbutz, in the same house.
Wow.
Where I was born.
Do they want you to come back?
No. They're very happy for me and, yeah,
yeah.
They're supportive and, you know, for them it's like, especially for my mom, it's like the career is like the number one. Like the thing, you need to fulfill your dreams. I mean, they're just from a different generation. They couldn't fulfill their dreams of like... Yeah, I think my mom, she would have loved to be a musician or like, but they could never like, you know, have a career in music or in the art. Just different life and different time in Israel.
Yeah. Well, you know, even here, like my mom said, because I'm the oldest and then I have a sister and then a brother. And my mom said, when my sister and I were teenagers and we were, you know, thinking about university and all that stuff, my mom was just like, it's amazing because you girls get to be whatever you want. Like when she went to school, her choice was, you know, teacher, nurse,
right,
secretary.
Generation.
Yeah.
And I feel super lucky. I mean, I was never told like you can't do this and that. I mean, I was always like having my family in the back, like supporting me and, you know, being, even as a woman, I mean, I've never been told you can't do this or you can't do that.
That is so good.
Whatever you want. And I still feel like that. And, you know, I travel everywhere. And, you know, I feel like nothing can stop me.
I think you might be right. I think you might be exactly right about that. Okay, I want to ask you about your colors because, oh, I love them oh so much. Is there a reason? Because there's a lot of blue in there.
Yes.
Is there a reason for your color choices or is it just what you love?
Well, it's both. But the blue and white was because I was looking, I mean, all the floral design and the flowers that I made like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at Japanese and blue and white porcelain design. So I was looking at all these flowers and like blue and white. And I was trying to like take these flowers and to give them life. And
yes. Yeah.
Put them outside of the plate.
Mm-hmm. Break them apart out of the plate and let them have their own life. Yeah.
Exactly. So to have like 3D flowers coming out of these Japanese plates. So that was the beginning of the blue and white time because I was invited to a show in Tokyo. And then I was just starting to look at, you know, Japanese blue and white porcelain. But then it just like, now I'm like doing all colors and it's like an explosion of colors. And
I just saw that pink and greenish one on your Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, and that's also why I really love commissions. I mean, I love commissions because they're very good for me. But also, I mean, it's people that's like telling me, okay, I want a flower or I want a sculpture with these colors, like black, white, pink, and blue. Like that's the piece that I made here for collectors here in Hawaii. And these colors, I would never, ever think of putting them together.
Right, right.
But that's why I kind of like commissions, because they allow me to like think outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah. And
so that's very exciting.
Well, I was wondering about, because, you know, I love Hawaii, and it's such a visual, I mean, it's so colorful there, everything, the water and the rainbows and the flowers. Are you taking photos and like,
I'm taking photos like crazy.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I was like, I wonder what your work's going to look like after your first trip to Hawaii.
It's insane. Like the colors and the light here, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I think I need another vacation just to like recover.
I know, right? I know. I feel the same way when we're there. And so the piece that you did, I don't know if it's top secret, the piece that you're working on in Hawaii, is it tropical looking? Like, does it feel Hawaiian or is it something different?
I don't think, yeah, I mean, it feels tropical.
Yeah.
It's a flower, but it's still like, it looks like a creature and it's still like underwater. So it has all these elements
Ooh.
In it. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. It's in the kiln now, so I hope it will survive fire.
Yeah.
Because I'm rushing everything.
Yeah, 2 weeks seems fast.
Yeah, it's really fast.
Yeah.
I love pushing the limit. So I've done this before. So hopefully I won't have any explosions. But even if I will, so we'll see. We'll manage.
Yeah. There's a ceramicist who I love named Amanda Smith. I've had her on the podcast before. She does these narrative, they're almost like slabs, but then there's like parts that are 3D and then she draws on them and they're really cool and super detailed too. And she said the same thing where it's like, it's all done. It's like, okay, here we go into the kiln. Like, I hope it doesn't explode. And just like, what? Like, I could not handle that. I am such
Now, you know, I love the danger.
And yeah, that's what she said.
The danger, it's a huge part in my work too, because of the shards and like, I cut myself a lot and I'm bleeding and it's, you know, so it's very dangerous to touch them and they might break all the time. So there is always like this tension between the beauty and the danger and the terrifying element in my work. So I had
that on my list of questions. Have you ever cut yourself? You have.
Oh yeah, all the time.
On the shards?
Yeah, the shards, when I break them, when I put them in my pieces. So yeah, it's shards. They're very sharp.
Oh my goodness, you're just living on the edge.
I live on the edge.
Yes,
that's very, very correct.
Oh my gosh, this is so. I could talk to you forever. It's just like your life is so crazy and rich and like this beautiful like mixture of all this stuff. It's insane. Okay, so I'm not even gonna, do you even know what is happening after France or you don't know?
Well, I have the summer to, I'm gonna stay in Long Beach until September.
Yeah.
And then I need to make some decisions, like,
oh my
where
gosh.
My studios, where I need to open my own studio. I think I'm ready for that.
That's so cool.
So I think it will be definitely in the U.S., but I'm not sure where.
Right. Have you traveled around the U.S. a lot?
Oh, yeah, a lot. I mean, yeah. I live in Montana, and I love road trips. And,
yeah.
You know, I usually, like, whenever I show my big pieces, so I travel with them.
Right.
To install them. So I love, yeah, I go everywhere.
I'm so curious where you'll end up wanting to land.
Me too. I love Los Angeles. So
me too.
I'm hoping to land there, to just stay there.
Yeah. Oh, I love LA. We were watching a movie last night and San Francisco was in it. We were talking, my husband and I were talking about California and I said, yeah, I really like San Francisco. But I said, I am in love with LA. I don't know what it is. There's just something about it that I don't know.
It's the weather and the palm trees and the art. And it's just, I'm in love with this city.
Really. I know, me too. Well, maybe there you go. Maybe that's where you're leaning.
Maybe that's my place, yeah.
And it's not a very long flight to Hawaii, so.
Right? It's like 6 hours. But then I'm planning to go. I was planning to go to China this summer, but it was just too crazy. But I'm going to China in 2018. So I'm going to go
for what?
For a residency in Jingdezhen.
Oh my goodness.
So that's my 2018.
How long is that residency?
Well, I think I need to go there because, yeah, I need to go there for like 2 months. I want to go for 2 months.
But
we'll see, because if I'm going there, so I want to make like a very large piece, because, you know, they have all the facilities,
yeah,
like, city of the porcelain in China and in the world. So, and I've never been there, so
wow.
So I want to go for 2 or 3 months, but we'll see. I don't know, it's like another adventure, so yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's just
next year. Yeah,
your life would make a really good movie,
you think?
Yeah.
I think so too. I mean, sometimes I just like, it's crazy.
It's,
I mean,
a little crazy, but it's fantastic.
But I really love it. And, you know, it's very lonely too. So there is like, not everything is like sparkling and beautiful. But yeah, I get to do whatever, what I love. And that's, I feel really lucky. And I'm super young. So
yeah, you are.
People always meet me and they're like, oh, You look 25, and I'm 33, but yeah, I'm young, so, but I'm really grateful for all these opportunities.
Oh, it's all so amazing. Well, into the screenplay, we'll write in a little like love story romance angle,
right?
Just to get it all covered.
Yes, exactly.
You need to keep me posted on. I want to know where you end up.
Yeah, me too.
I need to know all this stuff, because now I'm in.
Yes, sounds good.
Okay, are you ready for, what's that?
You live in Canada, right?
Yeah.
Where do you live?
Yeah, I live in a really tiny town. It would probably break you. you'd have a lot of space though, that's for sure. Yes, I live in a beautiful valley about 4 or 5 hours outside of Vancouver.
Oh, right.
I lived in Toronto for years, and I lived in Vancouver for years. But this is the town I grew up in, and really wanted to come back. I really wanted my son to grow up here and jump off the same docks I jumped off of. And
beautiful.
Yeah, it was sort of like how you were describing, you know, when I was little growing up here, like, you couldn't go any, like, everyone knew your business. Everyone knew what was going on with your family. And I loved that. I had friends
really?
Who hated it and could not wait to get out of here. But I loved it. It made me feel really safe.
Uh-huh.
You know, that if you were anywhere and you needed anything, you could turn. And like, there was somebody's mom that you knew, or there was a teacher, or there was something. And a lot of my friends hated that because you couldn't get away with anything.
Yeah. I'm so private, like a private person. I mean, I can talk about, I'm very open, but you know, I need my own place and my quiet place, and
yeah,
I'm really private. So living in such a tight
fishbowl, yeah, it's a bit of, yeah, everybody kind of knows your stuff. Yeah. But see, and I loved it growing up, which is what I wanted Charlie to have growing up too, just that comfort. But it's so funny because now that I'm back here, I love it for him. I'm such a hermit. Like, I never leave my house.
Wow.
I just taught an art workshop a little bit up the valley, like, you know, a 40-minute drive up the valley. And they were all like, what? Like, we cannot believe you live here. Do you want to do this and this and this? And I was like, oh, I kind of just want to go back to my house. So this is, I'm 43, so 10 years older than you. And this is what's happened now. I used to, like, travel and want to do all this stuff. And now I'm like, really, I have to get out of my pajamas? I was kind of just planning on, like, hanging out.
I know. I'm kind of tired of it, too, but it's just, you know, I can't stop and I can't say no to all these opportunities.
I know. No. You know what? And that's kind of what I like about where I am, is that, you know, I will go to L.A. and New York and I go and do all these things, but then I come home to my quiet little valley and just stay in my house.
Yeah.
And then the next opportunity comes and I can't say no. And so I go and do that. And like, I'm supposed to be teaching a workshop in Venice this summer for 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Like, how crazy. Like, I've never been, I've been to Italy, but I've never been to Venice. And I'm going. Like, you know, yeah, I would never say no to that, to opt for my pajamas in my house. But when I'm here, I'm just, yeah, I just am so private and quiet. And anyway, it's a lovely combo. It's a really good life, and it's really nice for Charlie. And so I'm very happy to be here. You're welcome to visit whenever you like, but I don't think you'd last for long.
I've never been in Canada, so.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
But I think as an artist, I mean, you have to have this like craving and like this adventurous.
Yeah, like the curiosity to know what else is out there and to see other things.
Exactly. And... I mean, what I always like visualize it, like what's behind the mountain, like because I grew up in a valley, and I was like always, what's behind the mountain? I mean, what's out there?
Yeah.
I have to go. I have to leave. I have to like explore and adventures.
I love that. I know. I was
Canada. I would love to go to Canada.
Okay, well, come on down. We live in the most beautiful spot. When we came here, my husband had never been. He's from Eastern Canada near Toronto, so he'd never been this far west. And I brought him here when we were dating just to visit.
Yeah.
And he was like, he's like, why doesn't everyone live here? Like, it's so beautiful. And I was like, we don't tell anybody. Don't give it away, because it's just the most beautiful place. We have vineyards around us and peach orchards and cherry orchards. And
okay, I'm going to tell you a story, secret. When I was really like 10 years old, I had a dream that my husband is going to be from Canada. I'm going to travel to Canada and I'm going to meet my...
Well, I'm just going to write that into the script then. There we go.
Know this, I mean, that's like the one thing. One day, Zemri, you're gonna go to Canada and you're gonna meet your husband.
What? Oh my god. Okay, well, start applying for a residency. Oh, Banff! You could go to Banff.
I know, I've thought about it. Maybe that's why I'm not going, because I don't want to.
That's right, you're not ready to meet him yet. You're like, you know what? I think I'm gonna do China for a little while.
Let's go to China.
Yeah, let's avoid Canada for another 5 years or so.
Exactly.
Okay, well, when you're ready to get the ring, I have always wanted to do a residency at Banff. It is stunning there. It
looks just incredible. Maybe that's, I should go.
It's all coming together. We've like totally figured out your life in like,
totally.
In an hour.
This direction.
You're welcome. Okay, so we've got your husband planned out. We have your next, like, maybe 6 months planned out, and that's about it. But are you ready for the not-so-speedy speed round?
Yes, okay.
Quite a few of them are Hawaii-related. Okay, I don't know if you've experimented.
So What do I need to do?
Nothing, you just have to answer my questions.
Okay, all right.
They're just weird. They just have nothing to do with your work.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so if you had a choice between a piña colada or a Mai Tai...
Pina colada.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Me too. Okay. Now I always ask people, I don't know why I feel I need to know this about people, but I do. Coffee or tea?
Coffee. Oh, definitely.
Another coffee. Correct answer.
I'm addicted. Yeah.
Me too. Are you finding good coffee?
Oh yeah. I'm in Hawaii.
Okay, like, good.
Coffee is amazing too.
Excellent. And then you can just chase it with your pina colada. Okay. Exactly. True or false? You will surf while you're in Hawaii.
False. I'm scared of the ocean.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm terrified. I'm going to go snorkeling on Monday, but I told my friend that I have to sit and I can stick my head in the water because I'm terrified. But I have to sit or stand. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
You won't swim.
I won't swim.
Are you worried about sharks? What are you worried about?
Well, the funny thing is that I can't, I mean, I have to know, I have to feel the ground. Otherwise, I lose it. I can't. I mean, I'm scared.
So, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, my work is not inspired by the ocean.
No, I guess
it's
not.
It's not the world. It's not that. It's not the ocean.
It is not a kibbutz. That's for sure.
It's not.
Okay, well, I'll tell you. I grew up on water, but I have some issues when I go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, I can't help when I'm swimming around, but go shark, 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 shark. But the last time we went, I actually went snorkeling and swam around.
Oh.
And I saw a huge sea turtle right in front of me.
Oh.
which was really cool. I did scream underwater because I was a little shocked to see him. But it was so cool. And then all the fish. And then once, and then it's kind of like your work. You kind of get a bit addicted and you're like, ooh, I just saw a trumpet fish. I wonder if I swim over here, if I'll see something else. And then next thing you know, you're, you know, halfway back to the mainland.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'll see you on Monday. It's going to be an experiment. So.
Okay. Oh, good luck.
Yeah. Thank you.
you'll have to report back on that too. I want to hear how it went.
Yeah.
And then, well, I did. This is so funny that I even have this as my last question. You're not going to be able to answer it. So, if you could live anywhere, where would it be? You don't know.
I have no idea. Seriously.
That's so exciting.
I have no idea.
That's very exciting.
I want to be everywhere. I want to travel and I want to, I don't know, everywhere.
Yeah. You need.
I don't have home. I mean, I do have home. Because Israel will always be my home.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I feel. Like, I'm always saying I'm Israeli first, and then I'm, like, a world traveler.
Yeah.
And my accent, I mean, I can't get away with it. I mean, I'm Israeli. But there is no place that I could yet say this is where I call home.
Yeah.
So I'll keep you posted.
Okay, there's a lot of things you're going to have to get back to me on.
Yeah.
Sharks.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I mean, sorry for the technical difficulties, but I don't even care. Like, I stopped hearing that little hum anyway because I was just so wrapped up in your story. And
thank you so
inspiring. Like, it's just so cool to hear it all.
Thank you so much. And I'm following you for many years, so that's very exciting for me to be here.
It's a mutual admiration club. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, good. Enjoy your last bit in Hawaii and enjoy France. And then when you're ready to get married, we'll figure out a residency in Canada.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, take care and happy adventuring.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. How amazing was that? Her story, her work, her adventurous spirit, and that fantastic laugh. Now I really want her to marry a Canadian, maybe in my town, so that she can live next door and we'll be best friends who make art and drink pina coladas. But I digress. Thank you so much to Zemmer for talking to me instead of being on the beach. And thanks as always to Saatchi Art for supporting this 99th episode. Now, next week is episode 100, marking the last week in season one. Season one, so fancy. I have got a very fun plan for the 15 Saturdays between mid-May and the beginning of September when, even fancier, season two kicks off. I'm going to give you all of the details next week, but I promise it's going to be really fun. Okay, episode 99 would not be complete without saying thank you for listening. There will be more art for your ear next weekend. See you then.